This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a day to be joyful and to be grateful for the opportunity to worship together. And it is my joy to welcome you to this time of worship, to welcome those of you who are joining us over live stream and those who are here in the sanctuary. The risen Christ is with us and connecting us in this time of worship. I would like to invite all of you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser. It should be showing up on the screen to register online. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the center aisle. And if you would pass those down the row and back again. And if you are visiting with us, perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, then we would invite you to share a mailing address or an email address, phone number, and let us reach out to you and begin that conversation. We're always glad to have folks join us on the journey as we share God's love in the world. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. Tonight, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. down in McWhorter Hall, we'll have another gathering for folks who are reading through the Bible together this year. And even if you're not reading through the Bible this year, but you want to come and learn about the histories, those books in the Bible that we call the histories, we invite you to come and join us. If you have not yet RSVP'd, I can't promise that you'll have a baked potato, but you're welcome to come and join us and see if perhaps we have some left. We'd love to be able to feed you as well. Next Sunday, we have several things happening, lots of opportunities. Right after this service, upstairs in the theater at noon next Sunday, Heath Jones is going to be leading a class around, we'll be having lunch, and then he'll be talking about the stained glass windows in our sanctuary and their history and the story behind those. And then around 1:30, 1 o'clock or 1:30, we'll come down here and actually get to walk around and look at them together. If you're not planning to do that, but you would be willing to stay a little late after next week's 11 o'clock service, Mac Perkle and his team are going to be filming footage of communion. They didn't want to do it during the worship service. That might be too disruptive, but we're going to sort of reenact it after worship at 11 next Sunday. So I'd love for some of you to stay. We need a good group to do that. And then finally at 4 p.m. in the sanctuary, our sanctuary choir will be leading us in a service of evensong. And we hope you will come and participate in that, either in person or online. And now I would like to invite Jane Schaun, our chair of Staff Parish Relations Committee, who has another announcement for us this morning.
Thanks, Carol. Bishop McAlealy and the Nashville Area Cabinet of the Tennessee Western Kentucky Conference continue to work prayerfully together to make appointments to every church in our annual conference. As chair of our SPRC, I give thanks to the ministry of our beloved pastor, Reverend Nancy Hawthorne Parker. Nancy has been in ministry with us since 2010, working with our young adult programs, as well as with the Vanderbilt Wesley Fellowship. As she moves to her new appointment, we will continue to pray for her. Please be in prayer for the ministries of the church, as we consider our next steps, and let us pray through these coming weeks for the transition in our church. Thank you.
Jane and Elizabeth from our Staff Parish Committee have been up here lots in the past few weeks, and we have a lot of change happening on our staff. And we trust that God is at work and leading us in new directions, but we certainly will miss Aaron Racine and Nancy Hawthorne Parker as they move on to new ministries in the upcoming weeks. Nancy had planned to take a sabbatical starting in mid-May. We're talking about when that might start, so we'll be saying goodbye to her a little sooner than we will to Aaron. So please be in prayer for all of them, for their families, for the ministries to which they are going, and to the pastors who are coming to join our staff, that God would continue to work through all of us to spread God's love and kingdom in the world. God is with us, and we are here to worship God. So let us open our hearts and minds to this time of worship together.
When rulers of the earth betray and disappoint, God's Spirit guides and sustains us. When we turn away and fall short of God's call, Jesus Christ forgives and redeems us. Let us place our trust and hope in God alone.
Let us worship the one who leads us with wisdom and strength.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. O God, our Maker, forgive us when we try to make you in our image. Forgive us when we turn to human rulers for the wisdom and strength you have already shown us. Fulfill your purpose in us so that we may be your people, heirs of your mercy and grace, and subjects of your reign. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name
of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Today's reading is a lesson from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 9. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us, like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
invite the grown-ups to be seated. And if there are any children out there, I'd love for you to come up and join me up here. And if you're worshiping online, just move a little closer to your screens. We had a big old group at 8:45. And here come some folks. Yay! Everybody's welcome. We're glad to see you. Come on up. Isn't it a beautiful day today? Still need our sweaters, though, don't we? I'm glad to see you. Well, this Bible story that Miss Irwin just read makes me think about how God wants to be the most important thing in our lives. Because God knows that if we put God first and we try our best to love God and love our neighbors and do the things God wants us to do, then we'll be at peace and we'll all be in right relationship with each other. So sometimes I think about, hey, welcome. I think about what can help me remember that God comes first. Because there are a lot of things that make that hard sometimes. I remembered I had a bracelet a few years ago that had these letters on it, WWJD. Anybody ever seen that before? Yeah? Pastor Stacy, what does that stand for?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? And so I had it on a bracelet. And when I was somewhere and I was trying to think, oh, what's the right thing to do? What should I do? I could look at that bracelet and think, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus want me to do? What's the loving thing? What's the kind thing? What would please God? And so that helped me in some of those everyday sort of choices we make, like going over and welcoming someone to my lunch table or saying a kind word instead of a not nice word, or letting my brother have the bigger piece of cake than me and being generous that way. So think of these four letters when you want to. WWJD, what would Jesus do? And maybe that'll help you too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for how much you love us. We want to be more like you. We want to love as you love. We want to be kind and generous. That can be hard sometimes. So thank you for things that remind us of who you are and help guide us in how we can be. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds get to go with Pastor Stacy and Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. Well, I need to give credit where credit is due. The sermon title was not my idea. I want to give credit to Bill Ferris and the Tuesday Morning Bible Study Group. They suggested it. It was unanimous. So that's the sermon title. Be careful what you wish for. Or is it ask for? Be careful what you wish for. Because this story that we've just heard from 1 Samuel is a bit of a cautionary tale. The people should have been careful what they wished for. What's happening in this moment is the people of Israel are surrounding the prophet Samuel, who has been their leader for many years. And they've said, we're tired of this. We want a king. All the other nations around us have a king. We want a king too. And Samuel thinks this is a terrible idea. But he goes and prays to God about it. And God says, give the people what they want. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. It seems that this really was not God's plan or God's will that the people would have a king. God had designed their life together to be different from that. But in this moment, God says, give them what they want. But you better warn them of what a king will do to them. And so in the verses that immediately follow what Irwin just read, it spells out what a king will do. And it's amazing how many times the verb take shows up in that paragraph. You can go home and read it for yourself. A king will take your sons and turn them into soldiers. A king will take your daughters and turn them into bakers and perfumers. A king will take your lands, will take your crops, will take your livestock and put them to use for himself and spread them out among his cronies. This is what a king will do. You better be careful what you wish for. And it happens. As the story of 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and Chronicles unfolds, we have all of these kings who ruled over Israel and Judah, and only a small handful of them who tried to be faithful and do the will of God. Most of them worshiped other gods. Most of them were guided by greed and were power hungry. God tried to warn them, but that's what the people wanted. So in this little episode in 1 Samuel, we see just one example of a theme that occurs over and over and over again in the scriptures. Now, if you've been with us since January 8th, since we first started our journey through the Bible, you may have heard me say on that first Sunday that as we read through the Bible, there will be some recurring themes that I'll want to point to and highlight. Of course, there's no way I can name every theme that shows up in the Bible over and over again. But this morning, I wanted to highlight this one particular theme. And that is that it seems that God has a desire to order human life in a particular way. A desire to be in relationship with each and every one of us, to be first in our lives, and to have a community that is centered around God. And over and over and over again, we human beings reject that. We turn away from God. We want our own ways of ruling ourselves. We have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world constantly vying for our attention in the scriptures and in life. We can see it fleshed out at the very beginning of the Bible, the story of creation that tells us so much about ourselves and God and our relationship with God. In that story, God creates a garden with every kind of plant and living thing that humankind could ever need. God wants to feed humankind and let them thrive in God's presence. And in that garden, they are in right relationship with God, right relationship with each other, right relationship with the earth. And then temptation comes. And it's put in the mouth of the serpent in that story. And the serpent just plants the seed. Are you sure you can trust God? Are you sure this is enough? I don't think so. If you eat this fruit over here, you can be like God. And the serpent tempts Adam and Eve to push God off the throne and to sit there themselves, to put the self ahead of God, and that's when it breaks apart. We see it again as the children of Israel are traveling through the wilderness. God has liberated them from slavery in Egypt. And as they travel in the wilderness, God provides manna and quail and fresh water from the rock, everything they need to feed their bodies. God gives them the Torah, the law, to guide them and show them the way of life. And God says in that very first of the Ten Commandments, number one, you shall have no other gods before me. I want you to order your life around me and put me first. Not because God has a big ego, but because God knows that if we put love of God first, it will lead to love of neighbor and right relationship and equity and justice and abundance for all. Just the kind of community God wants us to live in. But the Israelites on that journey rejected God over and over again. Moses was up on the mountain, still up there receiving the law from God. And the Israelites are down at the foot of the mountain building a golden calf and kneeling in front of a false god. We see it through the books of Kings as all of these rulers and kings worship other gods and turn away from God. And we see it played out in the life and ministry of Jesus and the early Christians. When Jesus was born, both Matthew and Luke make the point to say Jesus is coming as a different kind of king. And King Herod and Caesar's reigns are rattled by the birth of the Christ. Before Jesus begins his public ministry, he spends 40 days in the desert, tempted by the devil. And the devil says, look, if you'll just worship me, I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world to dominate, to to control, they'll be yours, and you can do with them whatever you want. You'll have worldly power as much as you want. And Jesus says, I don't want that. That is not the kind of king I will be. And just a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, we listened in on that conversation between Jesus and Pontius Pilate. Pilate, the representative of the Roman Empire, saying to Jesus, don't you know I've got power to kill you or to set you free? I've got all the power here in this room. And as we explored that Sunday, we know Jesus says, you have no power over me. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is different from the kingdoms of this world. In the early days of the Christian church, the earliest creed spoken by believers was very short. In English, it's just three words: Jesus is Lord. And for those early Christians living under the thumb of the Roman Empire, that was subversive. To say Jesus is Lord means Caesar is not. And so we see this going all through the scriptures. The kind of life and reign and realm that God wants for us, the kingdom of God that is revealed wherever Jesus goes in his ministry, the kingdom of God that we are called to pledge our allegiance to, and then the kingdoms of this world that are constantly claiming our loyalties. And so as we read this story, as we ponder this theme that comes out through the scriptures, we are called to self-examination. How are we tempted to push God off the throne and put other things there? How are we tempted as individuals and as a community? And so as we do that self-examination, I think about looking outward first. And what are the ways that the world is always trying to take God's place, calling for our loyalties? There are some who would say that to pledge allegiance to America, you're pledging allegiance to God, that they're one and the same. But my friends, that is idolatry. If we think that any government or any nation speaks for God at all times, we better be careful what we wish for. There is no political party that always speaks for God. There is no political leader who stands in the place of God. There is no church who gets it right. There is no pastor who gets it right all of the time. We must always be vigilant that we are not putting something that is not God in the place of God. We also must look inward to the more subtle forms of idolatry. Those ones that I know plague me and maybe perhaps plague you. To put in the place of God success or money or the adulation of other people. Or sometimes in my case, the absence of conflict. Whatever I can do to keep conflict from happening, yes, I'll do that. And sometimes that keeps me from doing the godly thing and the holy thing. So we're invited to that kind of self-examination. And I'd like to say we can do it once and then we're done. But I think it's a daily practice, an hourly practice, to look at what we are loyal to. Now someone's going to say, Carol, this is really depressing. Where's the good news in all of this? And part of what this story does and what that theme throughout scripture does is point that part of our human nature, just points to that sin in us that wants to continue to replace God with something else. But there is underneath that an invitation, and there is good news. Because we are Easter people. And the kingdom of this world is no longer what it used to be because Christ has been raised from the dead. On Easter afternoon, my family gathered at my brother's house, and we had my siblings, not all of my siblings who come, but some cousins and larger gathering. And one of my cousins who was there was Susan, Susu I call her. She had brought her mom to the service at West End, the Easter worship service. For many years, she sang in the choir at her home church. She sang alto, and they always did the Hallelujah Chorus, as does our choir on Easter Sunday. And she said at the lunch table, she said, "You know, the altos get to sing the most important word in the whole Hallelujah Chorus, and nobody hears it." Ben, you don't get to say it because you said it at 8:45. What is the word? Anybody guess? What the altos lead with in the middle of this? The kingdom of this world is. The kingdom of this world. And the altos go, is. And everybody goes, is. You get to preach the gospel with that one word. The kingdom of this world is become, has already become the kingdom of our Lord. It is accomplished. It is done. It is finished. And so the invitation for us is to believe it, to have eyes to see it, and to be committed to be loyal citizens of the kingdom of God each and every day. And through the grace of God and the power of the risen Christ, may it be so. Amen.
There are affirmation of faith is found in your hymnal on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, we invite you, if you're online, to click on the Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks right in front of you that you can place in our offering plates as they're passed. We want to celebrate with the rose on the altar with Jeff, Stephanie, and Michael Weiner in the birth of Grant Dallas Weiner on April 17th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, we give thanks today for this promise that you make real in our lives every day. You draw close to us. You call us by name. You carry us when we are unwell. You lead us to places of abundance and peace. You sustain us with your living water. Your Son, our Savior, came in order to reveal how close you really are to all of us. You send us your Holy Spirit to guide our lives and offer us hope for an eternal relationship with you. And so we thank you. We thank you for making us and all of your creation your priority. Thank you for coming yourself to earth so that we might know your love personally and be filled by its goodness. Thank you for changing our trajectories, for guiding us through the crashing waves and blazing fires of our lives. You surround us with a great cloud of witnesses who extend your grace to us, offering us a personal touch of your love. You work in our lives in so many different ways, Lord. Yet, like we have heard in our scripture today, we do oftentimes turn away from your counsel and seek our own. We try to find a way on our own instead of relying on the ways you make yourself known to us. We forget the way your Son called us to live, a life filled with reliance upon you and service to you and your people. So we are thankful that even in those times of turning away from you, you continue to come to us. Your love knows no bounds or ends, and for that we give you thanks. As we go throughout this week, may we take the time to turn to you, to spend time with you, to allow our hearts and our minds to be changed by you. And this morning, as we open them to you, we take the time to lift up those things that are important to us, those things that weigh upon us, and those things that bring us joy. And so today, we lift up our family and our friends. We lift up those who struggle to sense your goodness in their lives. We lift up those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We lift up our homes, our city, and our country. We lift up those around the world who today live in fear. We give thanks to you, God, that you hear our prayers and change our hearts in the midst of our asking, that we may be better prepared to be conduits of your grace to all we encounter. May our lives reflect the love that you give, so others may know it for themselves. We ask all of this in the holy name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our God. May we go to be ambassadors for that kingdom and share the love, the joy, and the peace that only Christ can give. Amen.